When you're absent from the body? Well, no, because he indwells us. But what it's talking about is this. You've left that which can never have anything to do with him. And now you're totally with him. And one day, you may not like this, but I do. One day he's going to give you a glorified body to go with that glorified spirit you got. To be with a glorified Savior in a glorified place. Now, how do you like that? If it gets any better than that, you tell me how. I knew. Now, in chapter 7, as it ends, and we're there. I just haven't got you there, but I'm going to 8 today. But I'm going to end chapter 7 for you. He goes through chapter 7 and he talks about what I just said. Paul says, that which I would do, I don't do, and that which I wouldn't do, I do. He said, but when I do that which I would not do, when I do something, brother, that I just know is wrong. No, he says, I remind myself of something. It's not me. You know, that's the thing we have to get across. It's not me, but it's the sin that dwelleth in me. Now, the reason he says this is because of what he said in chapter 6. He said that we're dead. The old man is dead. Listen, if you're dead, you can't have relationship with anything or anyone, right? You're dead. Well, if you're dead to sin, then you have no relationship with sin. You're dead to it. And then in 7, you remember, he says you're dead to the law. And if you're dead to something, you can't have a relationship with it. And remember, he said in 7, he says, you know, that which I thought would give me life, the law. Because Paul, hey, all you have to do is read up on Paul. He was a staunch man of the law. He was, you know, I'm a dumb boy from Irwin. He was an educated man. He knew the law. He knew the law to the point to where he thought he was doing the work of God to kill Christians. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, as pertaining to the law, faultless. That's how he thought. Well, that's not what he was. That's what he thought. Because the law, the very thing that he thought in keeping would give him life, it says brought him thank you, honey. What I thought was going to give me life gave me death. And he says, it's no longer I, but it is the sin that dwelleth in me. And he goes on and says it again. Now, you know, you've heard this say, how many of you have children, have raised children? Let's say it that way, raised children. Okay, when they were little, did you ever say what Isla Foster or Guy Foster used to say to little Tommy boy? If I have to tell you again, you won't like it. Don't make me tell you again. I'm glad God's not like my daddy. He doesn't say this once, he says it twice. It's no longer I, but it's the sin that dwelleth in me. What he's trying to get them to understand is once you have been saved, the old man is dead. You're not who you were. You're not going around trying to act better than you were. You're not trying to go around live better than you were. You're not trying to go around telling people you're better than you were. Bless God, you're not who you were. You are a new creature. What, honey? There ain't a person in here heard you. Who? Boy, I tell you, remind me not to say anything around you. You hear everything. A new creature in Christ Jesus. What does that mean, Jane? What does that mean? To be a new creature in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What do you think the word creature means? Well, what? Yeah, she said it, and you got it, and you're right. What did he do in Genesis? He created everything. What's he going to do in Revelation? He says, behold, I make. And that word make is a word creation. I create all things new. Why? Well, that's one reason. What's another reason? Huh? Well, that's a reason, but what's another reason? Well, that's another reason, but what's the another reason? What's the real reason? I just told you, behold, I make all things. All right? And in the previous, I said to you that I am a
new.
It's the same. So if he makes you new, he's not going to leave you in an old place. Well, that wouldn't make any sense. He wouldn't make you new and make you live for eternity in an old sin-cursed place. What are we warring with, folks? And listen, if you're not warring every day, you need to check up on yourself. I mean, if you're not, you remember what it said about Lot? You know who Lot was. You know, Lot went down to Sodom, right? And it says he laid in, he sat in the
gate.
Now, what does that mean? That means he was on the city council. That's right. He was in the government of Sodom. But what else does it say about Lot? It says his righteous soul was vexed daily. If your righteous soul is not vexed every day in this godless country we're in this godless world we're in, there's something wrong. Because on the inside is a new man that hates what he used to be, hates what he used to think, hates what he used to say. And he sees all this going on. And it vexes you. You know what that word means, don't you? To exceedingly trouble. Not just a aggravation. I'm not just aggravated with it, he said. I'm exceedingly troubled. You know what troubles me every Sunday morning in here? You say, Tom, this is a house of God. You shouldn't be troubled in here. Oh, let me tell you something. Do you know what troubles me when I stand there and sing that invitational song? You say, oh, Tom, come on. That's the time we sing. No, I'm going to tell you what. That ought to be the time, bless God, you're pouring out your heart to God and saying, oh, God, there might be somebody in here that's lost today. They better not leave this place without you. That's what it ought to be. And let me say this respectfully, and please don't, I beg you, don't take it, don't be offended by it, and don't be hurt by it. But you ought never get out and walk out of here during the invitation unless there's an emergency. Because there's an emergency going on in here, folks. You don't know who's in here. You don't know whose soul is being wooed by the Holy Spirit of God. And you don't know who's being called by the Holy Spirit of God saying, hey, today if you will hear his voice, Today is the day of salvation. Today, don't put it off. Today. It's not just a time in which we end the service. It's a time when God opens his doors and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Oh, if you'll just believe me. Oh, please, you have to understand. I know what I'm talking about, brother. I'm not just giving you this stuff. I've been there. I know the difference between not having that rest and having it. I know what it's like to lay down at night and not know if you're going to wake up in hell or not. I know what it's like to lay down now and know, bless God, if I don't wake up here in the morning, I'll wake up there. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it's about. That's what Romans is about. So he ends chapter 7. He says, oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Who? Oh, he says, I thank God. Hey, if you're delivered today, bless God, y'all be thanking God. I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord, for with the mind I serve the law of God, but with this flesh, the law of sin. I can't wait to lay it down, honey. I'm telling you, say, Tom, are you suicidal? No, but I can't wait to lay it down. I'm so tired of it. I'm so sick of it. I'm so tired of sin. Oh, God, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, God, I didn't mean to think that. Oh, God, I didn't mean to do that. Because I know it hurts him. It's an affront to him. That's what the Bible says. Sin is an affront to God. Sin ought not be something that we can just laugh at. Sin is not a joke. God's not laughing, folks. God's not sitting up there saying, well, I know they're just human. It's okay if they laugh at a little joke occasionally. I've heard people say, well, God's got a sense of humor. I'm going to tell you one thing. You show me one time where Jesus laughed, bless God, and I'll go along with you. Jesus wept. That's what he did. He wasn't here laughing. He wasn't. You say, well, Tom, wait a minute. You mean we're not having fun? Well, I can have as much fun. Listen, there's nobody sits in front of that TV and has as much fun as I do. Listen, my wife will come through there and she'll say, who are you talking to? I mean, there I was watching my big Oranges yesterday play the big Jayhawks. Man, I was a-pulling for them, and they kept doing dumb thing after dumb thing. I said, Coach, get that fool out of there. He can't play a lick. I thought, who are you talking to? The coach can't hear you. Only your wife can hear you. I have fun. But I don't come in here for fun, brother. And I don't say that pie. I don't mean I'm better than anybody else. I don't come in here for fun. This is serious business. I think worship of God's a serious thing. And I think people getting saved is a serious thing. I mean, we're not talking about just a little leaf turnover. We're talking about a new life. Like that song, I have a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white throne, angels sing the story, a sinner has come home for there's a... Now, see, I like those songs. It reminds me of what it was. Well, here he's reminding you. So that's why chapter 8 starts out the way it does. There is, therefore, You see, and therefore, remember, now come on, Clay, help me out. What's that therefore, remember? Anytime you see the word therefore, you say, what's that therefore? Well, it always is there to refer you back. To refer you back. Now, you're going to have to pay real close attention this morning, or you're going to go out and say Tom taught something that Tom didn't teach. If you don't pay real close attention. He says, there is therefore, and we know, hey, listen, there's not a person in here can't quote this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? But that's not all that verse, my friend. Hey, that's not all that verse. He defines it for you. He defines you who's in Christ. Hey, listen, I've heard them say the rest of that verse means something, but it don't mean something what they think it means. It defines who you are. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who? That, listen, if that's not a definitive word, I don't know what is. Those in Christ Jesus are those who walk, live, act, talk. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You show me somebody that lives after the flesh, I'll show you somebody that's not in the rest of that verse. I'll tell you that, and I don't apologize for that either. Because that's God's word. That's not my word. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made thee free from the law of... How many laws are they in that verse? How many laws are in that verse? Two. So that tells me there's two kinds of people in this world, folks. Hey, you're either in the law of the Spirit or you're in the law of the flesh. It's one of the two. You ain't in, nobody in the law of the Spirit and also in the law of the flesh. That's not possible. Because he just got through telling you that's not possible. If you are not condemned, you're not walking after the flesh. You're walking after the Spirit. Period. That's why I told you, honey, it can haunt you. It can't hurt you. Hey, you passed. Bless God. Ain't nobody in here got no worse past than me. I can tell you that. It does haunt me. No, it ain't keeping me nowhere. Listen, greater is he's in you than he's in the world. Don't even give him the time of day. Don't give him credit. Don't do him. We give too much credit to Satan sometimes, folks. It ain't got nothing to do with Satan. It's your flesh. It's what you live. It's this old body that you're in. It doesn't. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So he says, for the law of the life of spirit, it sets me free from the law of sin and death. Right? So because then it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak. Oh, my goodness gracious. Is the law weak?
No.
Why not? Is the law weak?
No.
It says it is. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak. Well, I tell you, y'all want to help me out, don't you? You think I've lost my mind? For the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God. Did you notice that transition? Remember I told you if you could keep the law, you'd be saved? Huh?
Well, I understand you can't, honey. I said, did you know if you could, you'd be saved? I mean, you know, God gave the law. It's the standard of God, right? He says, be ye perfect. Well, the law is perfect, so if you could keep a perfect law, you'd be saved. But as everyone says, but you can't. Well, see, that's the world doesn't know that. We know that because now we're not trying to keep it. The world doesn't know. The world still says they can set their own morals. I mean, the world says, who are you to tell me how I'm supposed to live? Well, I'm not anybody. God is, though. I've got no right to tell anybody how to live. Live like hell if you want to. I don't care. But I'll tell you who does care. God cares. And one day you'll care. I don't mean you. I'm not picking anybody out now. That's just the way I talk. So he says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God. Aren't you glad God acted when you couldn't do nothing, brother? If God don't act, you're done. 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 Because the flesh is weak, it can't keep the law. Therefore, you're done. But God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, it says, to do what? To condemn sin in the flesh. Why does it say that, brother? It says that for this reason. If you think you're going to stay in the flesh and be in the kingdom of God, you're going to have a rude awakening. You say, but how do I get out of this flesh? That's not what it's talking about. If you think you're going to stay who you are, and not let God change you into something else, you're not going to where God is. That's what he told them. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there has to come to that point. I told someone this week, I was talking to someone, and boy, I've just been praying for them. My heart's been broken for them. And I told this person, I said, look, she was saying, Tom, I hear you talk about your red light and how it changed you. I said, honey, don't be worrying about my red light. You've got to find your own red light. I don't know where y'all red light happened. I don't know. I know where my red light was. I know what happened at that red light too. I know how it changed me. I didn't pull up there and say, oh, I'll try to do better. No, bless God, I pulled up there and said, listen, God, if you'll save me and keep that red light red, I'll get right here. Now, you know the first place I found myself on Sunday morning? In church, bless God. You know what I did the first thing on Sunday morning? I went to the front, and I told them, bless God. And I also asked the preacher, I said, can I come back tonight and give my I said, brother, can I give my testimony this morning? He said, could you do that tonight? We sort of got a lot on the schedule today. I'm not making that up, folks. I went back that night. But where there were 600 that morning, there wasn't but 150 that night, but that 150 got you here.
So he says, you want to be where there's no condemnation? You'll have to be in Christ. And you know how I did that? You know how I made that possible, he says? I sent my own son. Did you notice that word, own, my own? You know, nobody else's son could do it for you. My own son. And not only did I sent him in sinful flesh. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus was sinful, folks. That doesn't mean, he was sinless. What it means is he came in the same flesh you've got so that he could overcome what you can't overcome so you could have what he has. Because you didn't have what he had, and that was life. You had death. And then the very next word in the very next verse, it's an amazing thing. That. Now, what would you say? Why did he start verse 4 out with that? Well, it means, here's what it means, brother. Nobody else will talk to me. You'll talk to me. It means, for this very reason. That's what the word that means. For this very reason. Well, what very reason? Oh, he hadn't told you that. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good, honey? Isn't that good? That's not where that verse ends. It says, who walk not after the flesh. Now remember, I told you, if he tells you once, it's good enough. But if he tells you twice, bless God, you ought to listen. What that tells me is this. If I'm unsaved, I'm in the flesh. If I'm saved, I'm in the spirit. You're not both, folks. You know, I hear people, and I'll get to you in just a second. I told you, you better pay close attention this morning, otherwise you run out here and it's untelling what you'll tell people I teach. I hear preachers in different venues talk about carnal Christians. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's an oxymoron to me. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian. Now, what's the word carnal? In the Greek word, what do you think it means? Huh? Well, I'm glad you said that because I'm going to tell you. It's the same word for flesh. And so in the next verse, he says, for they that are carnally minded... What does it say? Huh? No. Listen, he's going to distinguish between whether you are fleshly or spiritual. You have to be one or the other. You can't be both. I know what people mean when they say, well, we're just human. I get that. I'm a human. I know you probably don't think that sometimes, but I am. I'm a human being. That's not what it's talking about. He's making the distinction between who you were and who you are. If the old man is dead, that's the flesh, right? Then he talks about the inward man. That's the spirit. Now, the problem is, and in verse chapter 7, he gave that war. Remember, he talked about what I would do, I don't do, what I wouldn't do, I do, and all that. You know, that's that war that's going on. But you have to understand, that's not who you are anymore, because where you're at, there's no condemnation, period. It's not if. There's not. The trick is this, and I shouldn't have used that word, that's the only thing that came to my mind. You have to be in the Spirit. You can't say you are. You can't think you are. You can't believe you are. You can't hope you are. You have to be there. Because it's the only place where there is no condemnation. Otherwise, you're condemned. And if you're condemned, you're dead. It's that simple. It's not hard. Now, so, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the... Now, did you notice there's a capital letter there? Huh? You see, that's how you're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says this, For by one spirit
are we all.
I mean, what if I taught that way? What if I didn't yell and scream? Y'all wouldn't hear me. The neighbors wouldn't hear me. They wouldn't hear me across town. For by one spirit are we all. These words are there for a reason. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whose body? Well, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are, if that's the place, then that's the place we have to be baptized into. Not talking about water. He's not saying for by one spirit are we baptized in water. Water just simply demonstrates what nobody else could see. When a person comes and gets saved, there's nobody in here can see that transition, folks. Nobody can see the old man dying and the new man coming alive. Nobody in here can see that dying with Christ and being buried with Christ and then resurrecting to walk, chapter 6 says, in newness of. Now, what does that say to you? Why did he put that in there? Well, he says to walk in newness of. What does that mean? That means if what you did wasn't just getting dunked, if what happened to you happened before the dunking, then bless God, you're going to walk different than when you was dunked. It's not you ought to. It's not you should. It's not a good thing if you would. It's not anything like that. Bless God, it's a fact. Well, if you don't believe me there, I'll read it to you somewhere else. In Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all know this verse, don't you? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace, through faith. Huh? For by grace through faith are you saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. That's what it says. It is a gift of God. What is a gift of God? Well, the grace and the faith. The very things that save you is a gift from God. You didn't have either one, folks. Don't go around saying, well, it was my faith that saved me. No, bless God. Is you believe in God saved you and then God give you some faith to trust him. Because you wouldn't trust him before, were you?
No.
But then what does the next verse say?
For we are his workmanship.
Oh, well, that means something different, doesn't it? It means when I got saved, I became something that he created. Well, and not only what he created, it's not just his workmanship. And it says, but we were ordained to good works. Created, it says. unto good works, and ordained, pre-established. In other words, God says, before you're ever saved, now, if you'll come to me, I'll save you, and this is what will happen. You'll be established to walk in newness of life, and here it says, and ordained to walk in them. In what? The good works. See, you don't do good works because all of a sudden you want